Okay, I'll start. So we have been trying to plan a worship night, a night of worship, for a while now, and we set a date, finally. Yeah. So it is Memorial Weekend, and we did that because the whole worship team is here, and we thought it would be a good, we're going to do it on Sunday night, the day before Memorial Day. So I can't remember the date. 28th?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's May 28th, and it will be at, we're going to do a barbecue. So we don't have the set time yet, but probably 5-ish, 5:30, and then the worship night will start 7 or 7:30, okay? So we'll just start talking about that, remind you guys, and it'll be the first one at our church, so we're excited.
Yeah, that's exciting. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's have a word of prayer, and then just a few announcements. Is this thing picking up? This thing, battery's just like... Okay, well, it's because I'm loud enough. All right, let's pray. Let's pray, and then we'll talk about some announcements real quick. Father, we do come before you today, Lord, and as we, Lord, it is only Jesus. Lord, so we just want to thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you that you would come and take my place on the cross. As we come to bow down before you, as we come to worship you, Lord, I pray and I ask that, Lord, you say a humble and contrite heart and spirit, Lord, you won't turn away. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be able to come to you in humility right now. And so, Father, be speaking to us, be calling us from our sin, be calling us into a closeness and into a deeper relationship with you. And so we come to praise you. Lord, I ask that our hearts would be filled with the joy that can come only from you. And so as we get ready to sing more songs, as we get ready to praise you through song, Lord, I pray and I ask that we would shake this place with your praises. And Father, as we study your word, Lord, as we come, we ask for understanding, Lord, and a strength and a power to live it out as you call us to do. And so, Father, we give you the glory and we give you the praise, for you alone are worthy. In your name, Jesus, amen. Please have a seat really quick. I just got a few things. We got some guests here. Obviously, worship night, May 28th. Be putting that on your calendar. We started a few classes today. We started the new members class, the new believers class, and the next steps class. We started those. But listen, we started, but if you are considering membership, if you are a new believer, please make sure that you see Stacy right here, because I think the sign-up sheet's been taken off. Get your name to Stacy, and then we will have a conversation whether you need to be in the new believers class, new members class, or the next steps class. There's some differences between the two, but we will get you connected with the right class. Those of you who are visitors or guests, we got a couple of things for you. I hope you were given a connection card. If you weren't given a connection card, please get one. And you're like, I know, it's just, these are hard to write on, but please, we want to get some information. We want to make sure we get some information from you and some stuff, and just we want to thank you for being here. And with that thank you, we have some gifts out there for visitors, all right? Now, there's a couple things in this bag. This one, ooh, this is a good one. This one has Sour Patch Kids, all right? Choose your bags wisely, because listen, there's M&Ms in some bags, and there's Milky Ways in some bags, and these are for you fruity people, okay? I don't mean that rude, like, here's the thing. I love chocolate, Jasmine loves this kind of stuff, okay? We also have this book in here. This book is 1 Corinthians. As we are starting our study in 1 Corinthians this week, this book is a illuminated scripture journal. And so we want to give you one of those as our guest. It'll have the scripture. And so as we go through 1 Corinthians, it'll have the scripture and it'll have a place to take notes next to it. Guests, visitors, you get one of these in your bag. If you're a member here, we're asking for a $5 donation for your book, all right? Because you're just not new anymore. So, you know, I mean, there's a pen to take notes. And there's a card for free coffee. There's a coffee shop, Carbon Coffee, who sets up here throughout the week. We got a thank you card, so you can go get a coffee from them. And so that is in the visitor bag. Those of you who are members, you just have to put up with the rest of us, okay? Sorry, you joined at the wrong time. But the connection card's for you. Please put your prayer requests on the back side. This is for visitors, this is for guests, this is for members, this is for everybody. Put these in the offering boxes that we have located by the doors, leaving the sanctuary and the opening going into the fellowship area. We take these. I will check those boxes for these cards. I will be given these sometime before Tuesday, and then we pray as a congregation on our Tuesday night prayer night for these requests, and then we pray throughout the week for them as well. So if you have a prayer request, please fill that out. If you're just like, I want a prayer request, but I don't want anybody calling me, just put the prayer request, okay? Because we're not here to hound you. We just want to be praying for you. Sound good?
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm probably forgetting something, but let's worship, because that's what we're here for. We're not here for announcements. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's worship. Come on, let's praise God.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. When I repented of my sins and won the victory, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and loved me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my
This next song is Greatness of Our God, so we are going to read some scripture from Job where God is speaking with Job.
Have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of wars and battle? What is the way to the place where the lightning is despaired, or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path of the thunders, a path for the thunderstorm, to water a land where no one lives, uninhabited desert, to satisfy a desolate wasteland, to make a sprout with grass? Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from heavens when the waters become hard as stone, when the surface of the deep is frozen? Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades or loosen Orion's belt? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons or lead out the bear with its cubs? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over earth?
Prepare the way, heaven and earth are singing, glory, hallelujah, let the whole world see the greatness of our God. In awesome wonder, he reigns forever. We know the greatness of our God. His power is endless, he lives within us. We know the greatness of prepare the way, cause heaven and earth are singing, glory, hallelujah, let the whole world see. We live.
greatness of our God. Amen?
Amen.
I will call upon your name.
oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine.
Psalm 34, 1 through 10. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Proclaim the Lord's greatness with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and rescued me from all my fears. Those who took to him are radiant with joy. Their faces will never be ashamed. The poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the person who takes refuge in him. You who are his holy ones, fear the Lord, for those who fear him lack nothing. Young lions lack food and go hungry, but those who seek the Lord will not lack anything good.
Have a seat. We're going to share a little testimony. Okay, we have a seat. I'm going to share a testimony for somebody else. Rich is going to share some testimony about him and Robert went out yesterday. They went door to door. Right over to the microphone so they can hear you. They went door to door, so he's going to share a little testimony about that. And I'm going to share some testimony about Kyle. Maybe you remember Kyle. He used to be a member. Okay, I should say he is a member of this church, right? Remember, he's gone on a couple mission trips, been to a couple different countries. You remember Kyle? Okay, don't leave him hanging. Okay, so here's the deal. Kyle has moved to Winnemucca, so Kyle is joining us for church in Lovelock. For those of you who don't know, we have a church in Lovelock that we go to on Saturday, and we have services out there on Saturday. So Kyle, since he's moved to Winnemucca, is driving to Lovelock to have church with his church family. So something, he's going to come next week, and he's going to share his letter with you. He has written a letter. But I want to share with you, God is calling him to continue in the mission field. He has been accepted into the YWAM program. And so he's been accepted into the YWAM program, and he will be leaving in October. It was supposed to be January of next year, but he'll be leaving in October. So he's got to raise some funds and stuff like that. But he's going to come and just read his letter for that and ask you to be praying for him. So just be praying for him. This is, I tell you what, it's... If you remember Kyle, he's a very quiet guy, but he lights up when he starts to talk about missions and stuff and things like that. So that's definitely where God has called him. And so we get the opportunity and the joy and the blessing to get to send him on another trip. And this one, this might be the one that really, we might not get him back, you know? Because he's going to New Zealand. Yeah. So we might not get him back, but he's still a part. Amen? So anyway, he's going to come and share. I just want you to, Kyle is not gone. He's in a different location right now, okay? Same calling. All right, now Rich is going to share about yesterday.
All right, so yesterday, you know, the good Lord's just been putting on my heart for months just to go out and...
Don't be scared.
All right, so the good Lord's been putting on my heart to go out and just evangelize and reach out to the community and, you know, just... First of all, I would just like to give all the thanks, praise, and glory to Jesus, who is my Savior. So he's been putting it on my heart to just bring this community together, build it stronger, better, you know, in the power of Jesus. And yesterday, you know, Robert and I went out, and we just start handing out tracts and trying to just preach the gospel to people. And the first guy we came to, I thought he was going to come out with an axe and just start chopping me up, you know. But I do see a couple of faces that I, you know, we talk to, and it's just amazing that the good Lord put it on their heart so they can come and join and praise Jesus with us. So I hope that, you know, if it's just me and Robert going around doing this, that's fine. If people want to join us and go spread the gospel with Jesus, don't be afraid. Stand up. Come help us, you know. So I just want to go out and praise the Lord. That's all I want to do. And he's made it worth it just for those couple of people that showed up that we talked to yesterday. So it's all worth it.
Amen. 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 All right. Amen. Yes, going out to share the gospel, so just praise the Lord for that. All right, thank you, thank you. All right, children, you're dismissed. Get on out of here. Get on out of here. Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Robert. Thank you guys for going out yesterday. So if you're interested in that, please come and talk to me. Come and talk to Rich. you can probably talk to Robert, too, but he's a little ornery, so just so you know. Just so you know. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. That's exciting. Somebody delivered me batteries in case this thing dies, so I want to be on fire this morning, but not because the battery's light in my pocket, okay? good morning. Good morning. We're glad many of you are here. We're glad you're all here. I got a question as we get ready to start. We got some new faces. Did you introduce yourself to somebody today? Be like, oh, he's going to do the thing. No, just hear me out. I'm not going to do the awkward thing yet. Okay, where like, hey, get up and introduce yourself. So, did you introduce yourself to somebody? Did you meet somebody? Did you talk to somebody this morning? Somebody new? All right, let's pretend. Here's the thing. Let me take a drink of water because, yeah. Let's pretend you did, okay? Let's pretend you did. How would you introduce yourself? Right? When you think of it, like, you know that whole awkward, you're like, oh, man, like, it's just, you know, like Rich was talking about, he thought people were going to come out with an act because, you know, he's going, because people know, here's the truth. We're in 1 Corinthians. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to go through the first 9 verses of chapter 1. But what's most important here is, how would you identify yourself? Right? Because here's the thing. You've all had somebody knock on your doors. Any of you, you don't have to raise your hand for this. Any of you have a no soliciting sign on your door because you don't want people. You don't care what they're selling. You don't care what they're bringing. You just don't want any of it, right? Right? Some of you, and those of you who are door knocking, avoid those houses because they don't want you there, all right? Just if there's a sign, don't go. But it's about identity. The reason they have a no soliciting is because they don't want somebody, whatever you're selling, they know that you're a salesman, at least in their mind. And so they've already identified you as something. Today we're going to talk about identity. Part of today is about identity. Listen, we live in a world and a time that identity is just like, let's just say it like this, berserk. You get to identify as anything you want, whether it's truth or not. Today, we're going to talk about the only truth in your identity. Listen, we're not going to get crazy on gender and all that stuff. That's not the intent. The intent is on what God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Because he clearly states our identity, who we are, and who we are in Christ Jesus. And so we're going to get to some of that today. And so these are our basic points today. We have an introduction, an identity, a point of identity, sanctity, unity, and gifts. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about. In Corinth, the church was started. If you do your history, go back in Acts chapter 18, we actually get the story of how the church in Corinth started. And so here's basically kind of how it went down. This is heavily paraphrased, okay? Paul goes to Corinth, and he goes into the synagogue to start preaching the gospel because Paul, everywhere he went, he preached the gospel. And so he takes the gospel into the synagogues because the synagogues are the place where the Jews gather and they come to worship God. And so Paul says, hey, here's the deal. I go to the synagogues because those are the people who've actually received the gospel first, technically. And so I go to them because those are the people who that it should really click, right? Should really click. So he goes into the synagogues like he always does, and the Jews kick him out. He's not welcome. They refuse the gospel. And so he goes out to the Gentiles, and here's what happens. He starts proclaiming to the Gentiles, and what the Jews refuse, the Gentiles receive. And so the church is born. And so they actually start meeting in a house, and they start having a house church, and people start coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And so this is how the church actually starts. And so this is about, we know that this letter that he writes, there was more than two letters, but only two were scripture. Two letters were written to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians was written somewhere between 53 and 55 AD when Paul is in Ephesus. Okay, and Paul is in Ephesus and he writes this letter because the church is started. And I don't know about you, any of you ever start a new job? Ever in your life? Did you know all the inner workings? Did you know everything about, right? Did you make any mistakes? We're going to say it like this. Did you make any mistakes? Okay, let's ask this. Was any of you perfect? So mistakes are something that we understand. And so here's the thing. So you have this group of Gentiles, heathens, right? You have this group of heathens who have now placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And this is, we're going to cover all kinds of stuff in 1 Corinthians. I'm super excited. So you have this church, this group of heathens, this group of fleshly, because in Corinth, here's the deal. Corinth is a very worldly, fleshly, sensual type place. Prostitutes or loose women were referred to in all the rest of the world as Corinthian girls. So anywhere there was a prostitute or a loose woman, they were considered a Corinthian girl at the time. Just to let you know kind of how Corinth, the city of Corinth, was, how they acted and how they operated. And so you have this group of people who've been living like this and who have given their lives to Jesus Christ. And so now they're gathering together. And what's amazing, this is very important. What's amazing is that they're saved, and we're going to cover some of this. They're saved and they're gifted. And they're a mess. Really, it's what it is. And so he goes and he starts this church. And very quickly, he's like, man, I got to write some letters to these people because they're a mess. And here's the problem. The problem is they've tried to mix their old identity and their old identity, which happens to come out in us, not just Corinth, in us like this. Well, we're self-righteous and we like to be number one. Who's number one in your life? Just say Jesus. Come on, you're in church. The truth is we say it so often, but we don't live it. And so in Corinth, this is really getting bad, and it's causing division, and it's causing all kinds of stuff. And so this first part in this greeting is very heavy about the identity, because in God is our true identity. And so there's a difference made in your identity. We live in a time and a place where it's all about what you feel or what you want. However, I identify as, man, I identify as this really handsome, fit, Don't laugh, people. We laugh because we're like, okay, listen, you're speaking of yourself and stuff that don't say it's not true. But you're speaking of yourself in things that don't really matter. And so when we talk about this identity, when actually Paul talks about identity, we're going to see what actually really matters. And so we're going to read the first nine verses. The first nine verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And so, we'll be reading out of this. I'm using this. This is what I'm preaching out of because these books are cool, right? And so some of my sermon notes are in this. And so we'll be reading this. You'll notice if you have a Holman, this is the ESV. These things showed up in ESV, so that's what we're reading, okay? And so we'll be in the ESV. You'll be able to follow along. You'll be able to follow along just fine. So if you will, to honor the reading of God's word, stand with me. First Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ,
our Lord. Amen. Father, we come and we ask, Lord, that your word would impact us. And so, Lord, we pray the simple prayer, Lord, change us according to your word, by your word, so that we can live according to your word and by your word. And we will give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Amen. Please have a seat. So there's an old fable or an old Greek legend about Sisyphus, who was a king of Corinth. And for defying the gods with his insolent wit, he was sentenced to the eternal drudgery of pushing a huge stone up a hill. When he would reach the summit, the stone would roll back to the bottom and force resumption of the task. Camus, a 20th century philosopher, found in this legend of the Corinthian king a picture of modern man's condition, the purposelessness, absurdity of life. If Camus had read these two biblical letters, starting with this first one to the Corinthians, he would have gotten a different picture. One with a message of purpose and hope for misdirected people. The attitude of these Corinthians, like their legendary king, smacked of proud self-centeredness. But instead of dealing with a capricious Zeus, these first century Corinthians interacted with the gracious and loving God and his messenger, the Apostle Paul. Here's the deal. In our flesh, we're number one. And so this first part, as we read, this first part, Paul identifies himself as the one who's writing the letter. But he also refers of his call by God's will. You remember Paul, he was running. He thought he was serving God, and he was actually killing Christians. His identity was one of serving God, but he was serving God according to his flesh. He was serving God according to his understanding. He was serving God according to his strength and his misbelief. And so he didn't believe in Christ Jesus. And so as the church was growing and as the church was delivering the gospel and people were being saved, Paul considered it his mission. He considered serving God by going and killing Christians, throwing them in prison. In fact, in one of his letters, he talks about how when they stoned Stephen, he was holding the coats. He was approving. He was saying, do this, do this, do this. And so Paul's identity before Christ, he thought he was serving God. He would have told you he was serving God. In fact, he knew a lot about God. Probably, here's the thing, probably his mentor, because I say probably one of the smartest men alive at the time, I would argue. His mentor said that he could not, it's an extra biblical book, but it's stated that by his mentor, he could not keep enough material in front of Paul. Paul just absorbed everything. He read everything. He absorbed everything. And we know that he loved knowledge. We know that because when he's in prison, he asked for his books to be brought to him, right? And like he had a love for knowledge, and he had a love for this wisdom. And so Paul, this one called by the will of God to be this apostle of Christ Jesus, he's the one who's writing this letter to the Corinthian church. And you'll notice that if he went and established the church, why is he identifying himself? Any of you write a letter? Any of you send a text message and you're like, oh man, I don't know if they have my number saved, and so you put your name at the end, right? You just want the people to know where it's coming from. Now here's the important part. Paul was an apostle. And so they need to know that, hey, anybody have the same name? How many Johns are in here? If your name is John, put your hand up. Okay? Oh yeah, your name's not Alan. I forgot. Here's a good name. If your name is Tom, put your hand up. Where's my people? Come on! Here's the point. There's many of us, right? In fact, you wouldn't think there'd be that many Thomas Thomases, right? You're like, you have a strange name, right? It's not that strange. I went to a hotel one time in a place I've never been. She's like, oh, you've been here before. I was like, nope. She's like, well, I have a Thomas Thomas. Okay. She's like, actually, I have 7 of them. Yeah. So it's very important because she wouldn't put my bill on one of the other Thomas Thomases. So it's important to know who's saying this or who's writing this. And so he's identifying himself as the Paul who started the church, as the apostle, because there are many people, especially following Paul, declaring that he wasn't a real apostle, declaring that he was a liar, declaring all of these things. And so he identifies himself. And so he's telling the church, listen, it's me, Paul, right? Any of you make a phone call and say, hey, it's me, Dad, right? Write your kids, hey, it's me, Dad. Call them on the phone, hey, it's me, Dad. because you want to establish something. And so what he's establishing by declaring his identity is the authority that he has to write the rest of the letter. You see, your identity is important because when you identify yourself, when you go and introduce yourself to somebody, I asked if you did this morning. We didn't do a real good job this morning. But later, because of that, when we introduce ourselves to other people, what is going to be what you ask or what you say? First, you're going to say, hello, my name is... You can't all be Tom, okay? You're going to introduce yourself, but what you say next, now here's the thing, you're at church, and so your identity better be in Christ, or at least that should be assumed, but what about when you meet people outside? What happens? What are the, when you meet somebody new, what are the things that you just kind of like instantly go to? You're what? Are you married? You got kids? How many? How old are they? What do you do for a living? So it depends on where you meet them, right? And so when we come to church, we expect to identify as Christians because we're here at a Christian church, right? And whether we identify as like full-fledged Christians or just kind of checking things out, there's a certain amount of identity as us coming into this place. Well, here's the thing. Paul's writing to this church who were identifying as Christians because they were Christians and it was a mess. And it's because their identity went back to all of those other things, not Christ Jesus. And so it was, I have this, and they use their spiritual gifts, which we're going to get to later. And they're using their spiritual gifts to establish or esteem themselves better or quote-unquote more Christian than other people in the church. Their status, all these types of things. And so you see that there's a lot of division in this church. And so their identity, Paul's identified himself as this apostle. And you'll see throughout this whole entire letter about this identity. Listen, our identity must be defined by God. With all of these things, look at how many times as you go through this, I'm just going to, and I missed two, just so you know. If you have good eyesight, all the purple... Right? And I missed two, just so you know. All the purple, can you see that? Can you see that there's purple in there? All the purple highlights right there are an identifier. So as you're going through, look at the identification that Paul makes. By the will of God, an apostle of Christ Jesus, to the church of God, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, that call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from our God, Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God, the grace of God in Christ Jesus, the testimony about Christ, not lacking any gift revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful, whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. How many times was it clearly stated that it is in God and Christ? And so in this first section, it's all about our identity or his identity and the church's identity, not just the church in Corinth, but all believers, their identity is in Christ. Our identity is established by God, given to us by God, sustained by God, and only in Christ Jesus. And so we need to understand that our identity is to be found in God. It is to be placed, sustained, upheld, and shared in the truth of Jesus Christ. We belong to Christ. Now, here's the truth. You might have heard this. You might have even stated this. We are all God's children. That is not true, okay? I need to make sure that this is very clear. We are all God's creation, but only those who find their identity in Christ Jesus are actually God's children. Now, that might be hard, but that's the truth. Listen, apart from Christ, you are of the world. You are of your, as Jesus says, your father, Satan. Because that's how we live. That's who we obey. That's what we follow. You see why identity is so important? In Christ Jesus, you've been adopted into the family of God. And so you were not children until you come to Christ. Then you've been adopted. Now you're a child of God. You see, your identity is now you get to be identified as a child of God. Other than that, you are a creature created by God. There's a huge difference. There's a huge difference. Listen, the angels were separated. They are creations of God. And there were the disobedient and the obedient. Very clear lines. One follows Satan, one follows Christ. That's the truth. And so our identity, which Paul makes very clear, if you quote unquote call yourself a Christian, your identity is in Christ. And so our identity, I don't know if you can read those notes right there. There's a few things in this identity. So there was the start of the church. The church is called holy. Here's part of this holiness. Now there's two words that are used here in the ESV. There's two words here. Let me get to those. Sanctified, right? And saints. Two words that he uses, hagios and hagiazo, right? There's two words. One is the verb form and one is an adjective used as a noun. And so what these mean, this is your identity in Christ Jesus. These two words mean holy and to make holy. So you have been made holy, right? You have been made holy. That makes you a saint. In Christ Jesus, you have been made holy. You are a saint. Being sanctified means it's a continuing work, and here it's used in the past. Sanctification is an ongoing work of God. You're being sanctified if you're in Christ Jesus. It means you're being made holy. Now, I don't know about you, when I think of my life of when I first came to Christ and where I am today, I am more holy. Like, that's one of those churchy words that we all just kind of like, I don't want to be a, what? Holy roller. Holier than thou. We use all these words with this whole negative connotation, and we shouldn't. We should be like, you know what? I am holy. Because Christ made me holy. Christ is the one who made me holy. Holy means set apart and used for God's purpose. I am holy. And my life is getting holier. Not holier than thou, holier than it used to be. I don't have to worry about you so much. I'm your pastor, I do, but you know what I mean. As far as living this out, I've got to live it out. And so I need to be being sanctified. But what Paul says right here, he's like, listen, you're in Christ Jesus, so you're a saint. You've been made holy. You've been set apart from the world. You've been set apart from the flesh, from the sensual life, from the world. You've been set apart. You've been made holy. All that stuff you used to do is not who you are anymore, because God has made you a new creation. Now, part of that being made a saint, being made holy, now there's a continuing work. You're continuing to be made holy. As you grow closer in your relationship with Christ, you're more and more holy. You're less and less worldly. And so you've been set apart, and you've been set apart, and you've been put on a path. This is your identity. In Christ Jesus, you are now holy. And I know what some of you are thinking, man, I don't feel holy. Be careful with how you, quote unquote, feel. Your feelings are only there to point you back to Christ, to point you back to God. I'm not saying your feelings are invaluable, but you can't base everything on your feeling. Right? I was feeling a little bit grouchy earlier. I just, you know, here's the thing. I don't check my phones on Sundays. So if you send me messages and stuff on phone, I don't check them on Sundays. So I play a lot of catch up throughout the week. I got this message, and I knew I shouldn't have checked my phone, right? But I'm not going to make an excuse. Anyway, I had this text message, and I was kind of grouchy. And so it's like one of those things when I was coming up here, I had to have my prayer, right? Oh, Lord, I forgot. I'm getting grouchy because of something I shouldn't be getting grouchy about. And so, Lord, as I step up here, right, drop the pride. Remove the pride. Remove the anger. Remove all these things so that I can come up and proclaim your word. You see, I'm being made holy. I'd love to tell you that, you know, I never had a cross feeling or, you know, all text messages, I just enjoy the same. And just, that ain't true. But I've been set apart and set on a path. I've been set apart, so now I have a new mind. Now I can ask God, hey, listen, help me to deal with that text message. And if you sent me a text message, maybe it was you. work on your holiness. No. So I've been set on this path. I have this new mind. And now that I've been set on this path, guess what? I get to deal with the text message in a way that I used to wouldn't. And so now I get to deal with this message as being set apart for God's purpose, not my own flesh. Because my flesh has some words that I learned in the construction trade that I would like to use. And God says, that's not who you are. You're my vessel for my work. I'm just sharing the truth. But guess what? I'm holy. I'm a saint. You might hear that testimony and be like, yeah, I don't know. Here's the thing. Look in a mirror and join the club, because that's the truth. That's the truth. God is making our hearts more and more holy. He's sanctifying us. And you haven't met a perfect person other than Christ Jesus. And so this is a work that's going on, but this is what he says. This is what he's telling this church. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's some stuff in this church that if we operated like that, you'd be like, man, that is, you ever been speechless? When you read what's going on in this church, and they're still having church, and like, from our flesh, from our understanding, right, of our own strength, when we read this letter, and you start back here, and Paul says, listen, you're saints, sanctified by Christ Jesus. You read the rest of your letter, and you're like, I don't know, Paul, are you sure you got that right? And so there's some stuff going on in this church, and Paul starts the letter with this, listen, you're a saint. And so listen, today, if you're here and you're in Christ Jesus, Christ is your Savior, I want you to, this is a victory we get to walk in. You're a saint. You've been sanctified. Paul uses this in the past tense, like it's already done. And so some of you need to just realize that. And some of you just need to revel in that and just sit and just simmer for just a bit. And be like, okay, I'm a saint. And I've been sanctified, but that means since I'm a saint and I've been sanctified, it means that he's going to keep working this out in my life, right? And so it's a victory, and so we should rejoice in that. But some of us just need to simmer for just a minute in that. Some of you just, maybe that's all you need today is to walk away. Don't leave yet, but just you just need to walk away saying, man, I'm a saint. I haven't been seeing myself that way. But the truth is, in Christ Jesus, you're a saint. You've been sanctified, and you're being sanctified. Some of you need to simmer and then let God keep doing his work in you. Some of you have been sitting idle. Some of you have been disobedient to what the Word of God clearly calls us to because you forgot that you're a saint, that you've been set apart. Anybody have a crescent wrench in your toolbox? Okay, right? Now, here's the thing. How many of you use it as a hammer? I just find it very interesting. Husbands, some of your wives are using your crescent wrench as a hammer. They didn't say they owned one, but they said they used one. So be careful. Now listen. The crescent wrench works as a hammer, right? I mean, it works. You're not going to do any finished carpentry with it, but man, you drive that big nail, that's going to... You're hanging pictures, lady. I know what you're using. You're using a nail the size of my pinky and a crescent wrench. A picture's going to cover it. Some of you have been called... Well, I shouldn't say it like that. Some of you have been called... Some of you are in Christ Jesus, and you're not being used. You're not being set apart for his glory. You still think this is about you and your life and all that kind of stuff. And so you're being a crescent wrench instead of being a hammer, right? You're trying to do this job that you are equipped for. You're just using the wrong tools, right? Because you've put yourself first. And so your identity is in Christ Jesus. That means that all that you do is now the way he wants for his glory, not for your own. And I tell you, when you use the right nail and you use the right hammer, all things work so much better. And then maybe you'll grow up to a nail gun. I don't know. But it's about your identity. And so some of you need to realize that you're a saint. And rejoice that God's not done, but that means that he's still working. The only thing that's hindering his work in you is you. Don't look at your neighbor and blame them. Don't blame your spouse. Don't blame your kids. Don't blame your boss. Don't blame anybody. Blame yourself. This is the truth. This is one of the issues with the Corinthian church. They want to esteem themselves better than everybody else. You need to just look in the mirror. The enemy is, he's trying to tempt you, he's this and that, but there's so many in the church who the enemy ain't even messing with because you're just doing a bang-up job yourself, not following the Lord. And so some of you need the short little swift kick to be like, boom, get in gear, you're a saint. I'm spending the most time on the identity because here's the thing, we cannot function properly as a church or as believers until we clearly understand our identity in Christ Jesus. And so we got to get rid of some of the garbage. And the garbage is this, anything that is not Christ in you. You're like, man, there's some good stuff about me. God gave you all the good stuff. You brought up all the bad stuff. Or you keep it around, however you want to look at it. That's not who you are in Christ Jesus. And he will rid you of that stuff once you start actually letting him. Amen? Identity, sanctity. Our identity is that we've been sanctified by Jesus Christ. Now these two major themes, these are throughout this whole entire book, not just this portion, but through this whole entire book, the sanctity that you've been sanctified. The truth of who you are in Christ Jesus and the unity. These are going to be two major themes throughout this whole epistle. Because when we understand who we are in Christ, then unity comes a whole lot easier. I got to share with somebody last night. I was talking with somebody last night. And they had said something. I said, well, here's the thing. Here's the beauty about Jesus Christ and about him saving us. When you look around, now don't look around right now, but when you look around, there's people in this gathering that you're like, man, I don't work with them. I don't know them. We don't even enjoy the same like activities and stuff like that. Like we're just not in the same circles, right? We're just different people. It's just who we are. And we have all different walks of life, but God has united us in Christ Jesus. Because we've been sanctified, because we've been made holy, because we've been set apart, that means we've all been set apart. And so he brings us, and in that, it calls us, it demands unity. And so the two main themes here are sanctity and unity. When we understand that we've all been sanctified in Christ, then we should all be united in Christ. Now, here's the difference. This is where we now get back to ourself and our flesh. Well, I want to be united with that group, but they don't do it like I like it. You know why we have so many different denominations? Because of ourselves. This first church, the first church, like capital C church, all the churches, Paul writes these letters, and they're all like, yep, got it. They're not like, really wasn't a Baptist letter, Paul. You know? And I know that the Baptist and the dispensationalists, they're pretty close together. So, like, as long as there's a dispensational, like, twist to it, then we can read it in the Baptist church. But, man, in the assemblies, in the AG church, we can't read that letter because it's way too Baptist. Listen to the unity right here because of the sanctity. Listen to the unity. Paul gives thanks to God always because of this, because of the grace of God. Now listen, here's the gifts. The gifts are what unite us. Here's the gifts and here's the unity. Because of the grace of God, because of all, they've been enriched in all speech, in all knowledge, because they don't lack any spiritual gift, because God sustains them all, because they will be guiltless in the day, and because they were all called into the fellowship. Those are all gifts, but all gifts to unite. Listen, unity is what he's calling us to. When he says you're sanctified, this is who's sanctified. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now, obviously, he's writing this letter to the church, and so he's saying, okay, those of you who are sanctified in the church, in Christ Jesus, I'm writing this to you, but then he says this. You're called, since this is who you are, you're all called to be saints together with all of those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Now, here's the deal. There's a church over the hill, and there's a church over the next hill, and there's a church over the next hill, and there's a church over the next hill. In Christ Jesus, the saints who are truly in Christ Jesus, the Christ Jesus of the Bible, we are all saints just the same. And so he calls us to unity. And so we as a church should be united with other churches. Now, this is our local kingdom outpost. Turn around and look around. Now you get to look around. These are your peeps. Now, when you go somewhere else and you visit another church, if they're in Christ Jesus, those are your peeps. They're just like your cousins that you visit every once in a while. They're still your family, but you don't do life with them every day of the week. Now look around. These are your every day of the week peeps. But we're just part of the greater capital C church. Now he's gifted us and he's called us here for us to take these gifts that we just read to reach everybody around us that we can. He brings them together for us first. Listen. Your gifts are to edify and to build up the body, those who come and assemble together. And they're made, they're given, I shouldn't say made, given to you to make disciples from outside. I think my ear grew. This thing's not fitting anymore. But he's calling us to unity. Man, the disunity that's taking place, he says, listen, these guys... These guys didn't know, like, all these denominations, the apostles would have been like, what are you guys doing? You're all saints. You guys are arguing about these different things and these differences that don't matter, these differences that should actually unite you in the church. And you guys start separate churches because, oh, here's the thing. We're all the ones who speak in tongues, and you're the ones who just read the, and you're the ones who this, and you're, and so we've made all these little divisions. Listen, we're guilty of it ourselves. When we're more worried about the denomination on the sign other than, is this a church of Jesus that worships Jesus, that praises Jesus, that gives all glory to God through Jesus? That's what should be on the sign. That's what should be important. And some of you who are like, man, denominations are important. Listen, all those things that make all these different denominations, they're all people who have been gifted technically in the same kind of general area. And so they have disagreements with all these other things. Now we're called, this is why our identity in Christ is so important. Because guess what? Sometimes them people are weird. And to you, or to them, sometimes you people are weird. But our identity is in Christ Jesus. And we'll get into the spiritual gifts, right? We're going to get into that in the letter later. But those who were speaking in tongues and those who had this gift and those who had this gift, they all came together and they all came to the same church because they all had the same purpose, because they were all united in the fact that God had sanctified them. And they understood that their gift wasn't their gift. This is what happens in the church. And Paul writes this letter that says, here's the deal. Don't start other denominations. You guys just got to start getting it right. You need to be united. And your gifts are not something that establish you as something different or something better. It establishes you in your sanctity, in your sanctification of Christ Jesus. You ever meet somebody who can just, like, man, they have a way that they just pray. You're like, man, when you pray, I can feel the Spirit moving, right? And you're like, man, I wish I could pray like that. Stop. Don't idolize the person. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to have a depth in my prayer life. Right here, where he doesn't single the gifts out, and he doesn't single people out when he does start to single the gifts out later. What he says is, excuse me, you were, now here's the church, you were enriched. Listen, enriched. You know what it means to be enriched? Anybody ever read, like, enriched grain or enriched flour? It means they've added something to make it supposedly better. These gifts, he says, you've been enriched in all speech and all knowledge. He says, your people who know how to talk and your people who know stuff, you know how to study, you know how to understand, you know this stuff, but God has enriched you. God has enabled you to speak with grace. We won't get into tongues right now, but to speak with grace. Some of you, you don't need a new tongue, you just need a clean tongue. Like, I need a heavenly language. Just have the grace of God come out of your mouth. That's just the truth. I've met more people who don't have an issue swearing in front of a pastor and just like everything's fine. Don't judge. Don't call people out either. And you're like, whoa, are we going to bash people? No, just listen. When you understand that's, the Bible's very clear. Don't let any filthy talk come from your mouth. That means words. That doesn't just mean you tell bad jokes. And I don't mean dad jokes, I mean bad jokes. Some of you just need to season your words with the grace of Christ. Some of you don't need a new tongue, some of you just need a clean tongue. And so when he talks about, he's enriched all speech and all knowledge. God gives you an understanding so that you can know his word. So he gives that to you. He enriches. Some of you understand in part, some of you in more depth. Guess what? That depth is for all of us. Just give it time. Don't be like, man, I got to know everything. Man, I would love to know everything. And I sound like a know-it-all, right? But that's my ego. That's not because I actually know it all. None of us know it all, but we're all on this process. Listen, he enriches your life, your life of discipleship. Since you've been sanctified, since you're a saint, and he's continuing to sanctify your life, you're going to grow in knowledge. Just like that. Many of you probably didn't know that it wasn't okay to just let filthy talk come out of your mouth. Right? Maybe you grew in knowledge right there. Maybe you grew in knowledge of like, hey, man, I don't feel like a saint, but I am a saint. Listen, you see, you grow. It's part of the process. He's enriching your life. He's enriching us, the church. More gifts. He moves on to this. so that you're not lacking in any gift. Now, when we get into the gifts, the church of Corinth had people practicing the gifts. Now, like I said, we'll get into it and we'll spend weeks there. Right, because there's a lot of division that comes with the gifts, with the spiritual gifts. In the church of Corinth, there was somebody practicing the gifts. There was people who were gifted in different areas. And so we'll get to that. But the point of the gifts was to build the church and to unite the church. It wasn't to establish like, hey, I'm gifted here, and so you should come to me when this. No. Very important about the gifts. The gifts are when the Spirit gives them, okay? And we'll cover that. Some of that. Well, I have the gift of this. Just relax. We'll get there. Because just make sure it doesn't turn into an ego thing. This is exactly what's happening in Corinth. Okay? Because really easy when we've been blessed with something, when we've been given something, it turns into us. It turns into our ego. You know why I'm not rich? Because I'd be a jerk. Right? It would go straight to my head. Right? And so the gifting, God knows what you need and God knows what he's given you. And so we have somebody, listen, this church is not lacking in any gift. It's right there, clear as day, in the word. They were not lacking any gift. I don't know about you. When you look around the church, that sounds like a pretty cool church. Like, man, I want to go to a church where, man, all the gifts are active. Wouldn't that be cool? Right? I mean, talk about seeing some miracles and stuff, right? Like that, yeah. And so they weren't lacking any gift. It was a gift that God gave them. And one of the issues is that here's the deal. You guys quit using them. You guys started using them for your own gain instead of for the body of Christ, which is what they were for. So that you're not lacking any gift. Listen, God wants to gift you. In fact, he has gifted you. The next thing is that God will sustain you. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end. Now, there's a lot of... Nah, we won't go there. He calls the Corinthian church to repent, basically, is what's happening. Just because you're in Christ Jesus, and just because you're a saint, and just because he is sanctifying you, doesn't mean that there's not something in your life that you don't have to repent of. In fact, in the book of Revelation, remember, he calls the churches to repent, otherwise I will what? Remove your lampstand. So don't think that just because you're sanctified and just because you're a saint that you don't have to spend any time in repentance. God will sustain you, and so why does he write this? Why does he have Paul write this letter to the Corinthian church? Because he says, guess what? Here's the deal. Repent, because you cannot keep on going like that. And so God will sustain you, and he uses different things. He uses his word in the written form. He uses the giftings of other believers to draw us together, to call us to repentance, to restore us, to heal, to forgive, for all types of things. It is God who's doing the sustaining, not us. But we have to be obedient to him. We have to be attentive to what he's saying. This is why we need the understanding. This is why we need to be enriched in these areas, in these places. We need to understand that it's God who sustains us, so we don't get egotistical. We don't get thinking that we've done something. God sustains us. To the end. The end being this: guiltless in that day. That's another gift. You're guiltless. I don't know about you. You ever been declared? Who's gone to court, right? You plead guilty, not guilty, or no contest, right? I remember, like the first time I went to court, I don't do it all the time, just relax. I was like, what do you mean no contest, right? Because, man, I don't want to be guilty. I know I'm guilty, but I don't want to be guilty, right? But I know I'm not innocent, right? So I don't want to dare say, like, here's the thing, I was raised better than that. Like, don't go in there and tell the judge that you're not guilty when you know you're guilty, right? So what's this whole no contest thing? Tell me more about this. I asked the judge, well, what's no contest? What do you mean? Because here, now I'm wrestling. Well, I am guilty, but I don't want to say I'm guilty. How many of you just love to be guilty all the time? Don't put your hand up. You're fibbing. So I don't want to say I'm guilty, even though I am guilty. I don't dare say I'm not guilty because I know there's a truth. There's a cop who said, you're guilty. And he wrote me a ticket. And he actually said, here's the thing. You're going to court. Okay. Well, he says, I'm not going to say I'm not guilty because, like, I don't have a... And here's the thing. What was I going to say? Come up with some kind of lie? Oh, well, you know, I tried to tell the cop that, you know what, I had the flat tire, you know, 2 days ago, and so I was just trying to, as slow as I had to drive for those 2 days, you know, I'm trying to just make up for it, so it's okay. Right? It wouldn't work, right? It wouldn't work. Because clearly I'm guilty, but here's the issue. I don't want to say I'm guilty. I don't want to say I'm guilty. And here's where we struggle. So much of us, we just want to come to God and we want to say, okay, listen, God, I don't want to declare I'm guilty. I don't really want to say I'm not guilty. So tell me more about this no contest thing. Right? Plead no contest. Lord, I'd like to come before you and plead no contest. Did you know with Christ there's no contest? You're guilty or not guilty. That's it. And so I love this whole no contest because they're like, well, you can't really, you know, and they go through the whole thing. I was like, yeah, let's go with that one because that one sounds pretty good. Because here's the deal. If they find me guilty, it's really like I didn't admit the guilt, but I didn't say. You know, you're kind of in that middle. You're like, you're trying to find grace. Grace is not a bad thing. In fact, Paul says, here's the deal. You're in the grace of God as a saint in Christ Jesus. And so we're like, I want some more of that grace. Well, here's the difference, though. Christ doesn't say, hey, you get to plead no contest. Christ says, here's the thing. At the end, you're going to be found guilty or not guilty. That's it. And so you're either going to depend on the grace of Christ Jesus, or you're going to depend on yourself, and you're going to try to go up, and you're going to be like, hey, no contest. And God's going to say, no, there's no contest here. You were given the opportunity to surrender to the grace of God and live the rest of your life in that grace and be found guiltless on that day. And if you make that decision, I will sustain you. Listen, it doesn't, you're not perfect. But if you keep your mind, if you keep your eyes, if you keep yourself set towards the goal is being Christ. The goal is being found in him, right? It takes the whole idea, it takes the whole idea of the punishment of the guilt. Because here's the thing, why don't you want to say you're guilty? Because you're like, man, there's punishment coming. There ain't nobody like punishment. And so I just want to be found not guilty even though I am guilty. Well, the only way to do that is to let somebody else pay for your guilt, for your crimes. And you see, that's where the grace of God comes in. He says, listen, I sent my son to pay for your crimes. Because you were clearly guilty. And you're standing here and you want to plead no contest, but I'm telling you, there's no contest. But if you would just admit that you're guilty and take what my son did for you and pay the price, you will now be found guiltless on that day. And if you just trust your life and you just give it to me and you'll just declare Jesus Christ is your Savior, Jesus Christ died for your sins, Jesus Christ took it all on the cross. And there's nothing but Jesus. Lord, fix my eyes and fix my gaze upon my Savior. He will sustain you. It means he's going to carry you through. Listen, he's going to carry you through. And so it takes this, it gives you a freedom. And it takes the doom of guilt away because you're like, okay, now here's the thing. When you mess up, right? So I told you about how I had some feelings about a text message. That doesn't make me stand before God as guilty. What it does is, wait a second, I've been forgiven, and so now I have the freedom to live like I've been forgiven. Now, that doesn't mean I send him a bad text. It means that there was something in my heart. It means that there was something in my heart that didn't quite line up with Jesus. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Because here's what happens now that I'm in Christ Jesus. There was something in my heart, and I don't have to stand guilty because in him I have the freedom to acknowledge it because he called it out in me. And so now I get to acknowledge it, and I get to confess it, and I get to move on and say, okay, Lord, help me not to now live that out. So now when I respond, help me to respond with your grace. Help me to respond with your mercy. Help me to respond in your truth. And this is what he calls us to. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, now this is brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Listen, give your life to Christ and set your mind and ask him to help you set your mind on all of those things. And then isn't that a nice list? Whatever's true. Whatever's lovely. Whatever's lovely. That's just lovely. Doesn't that just have a nice ring to it? Set your mind. You say, man, my mind needs to be, oh, well, here's the truth. In Christ Jesus, he'll give you a renewed mind. And he'll start that work. And he'll complete that work. And he'll sustain that work. And so many of you need to just put yourself aside and let Christ come through. Some of you are suffering and you continue to suffer because you think the suffering is just all about you. No. All the suffering is doing is pointing you to Christ. And so when he calls us to suffer well in Peter, you suffer well because you belong to him. Because he's your example and he's doing a work in you. And so quit saying, poor me, poor me, poor me. And say, Lord Jesus, you be glorified. Because I know you're doing something in me. I know you're changing me. I know you're making me more like your son. That doesn't mean your suffering's easy. It just means it has purpose now. Because you have purpose. Because you're Christ's. You're a saint. You're a saint, and all saints of God suffer. But you're a saint who's been sanctified, who's being sanctified. Right? God's going to sustain you. Keep your eyes on Christ. Maybe you just need to write down Philippians 4, 8, and 9 and tape it to your, not your speedometer, Tape it to your horn. Tape it to your horn. Not your mirror, not your windshield. Put it on your fridge. Put it on your computer screen. Right? That computer screen is probably a good one. Snap a picture, put it on your phone, put it on your screen. Good reminder. Good reminder. Amen? Church, listen. We need to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. You have an identity in Christ Jesus. And the world may tell you all kinds of things about who you are. But in Christ Jesus, you get to say, well, here's the thing. I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm His. I'm a saint. All that other stuff doesn't matter because I'm His. I belong to Him. He's my Savior. He's my King. He tells me who I am. Makes it so much easier. Makes it so much easier. So I'm going to ask you just bow your heads and close your eyes. I believe Alan is the deacon of the week. I'm going to have Alan come up and close us in prayer in just a second. But as your head is bowed, we already got to see this during worship. Somebody was already, not to call them out, but here's the thing. Somebody was already, they didn't even have to wait. They just knew that they needed to get on their knees and they just needed to praise God. They just needed to get right with God. And so right now, what's being offered to you is an opportunity. You're going to have a few moments to just sit here and just simmer in what God's shown you. And so whatever He's been putting on your heart throughout this morning worship hour, I just want you to praise Him for it. I want you to thank Him for it. And I want you to ask Him to continue to do that work in your life. And to continue to change your heart. Continue to change your mind. Continue to change your tongue. Ask Him to reveal the gift that He's given you. To unite this church. To build up this body. So that the church, capital C, can make a difference in the world. Or be a difference because of Him. And so just take a moment or two. Alan's going to get up in just a moment or two. And he'll close in prayer. And then I want you to come. And just don't forget, if you're a visitor, if you're a guest, make sure you get your welcome bag. Those of you, hey, just stop and fellowship. Just have some coffee, have some snacks. Don't leave without some fellowship. It's good for your heart. It's good for your soul. That's what He's called us to.